Bibles, if you have one, if not, you can just listen and turn to the book of Judges, chapter 19. There's a record in the book of Judges, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges. In chapter 19, that's rather lengthy. I'm going to try to give you an overview of it. But it's a record that for many years I didn't understand. I'm not telling you that I understand it completely tonight, but I understand it a little better than I did before. And talks about Israel and the position that Israel allowed itself to fall into. Now, in verse 1 of Judges 19, it says, "And it came to pass in those days that there was no king in Israel, that there was a certain Levite sojourning on the side of Mount Ephraim, who took to him a concubine out of Bethlehem, Judah." So there's this Levite, and he's on a journey. He's on this side of Mount Ephraim, and he takes to him a concubine out of Bethlehem, Judah. Now, a concubine is a wife. And in those days, you could have more than one wife. But a concubine was a wife who was maybe once removed from the primary wife. Now, there were rules and regulations with regards to how you had to care and this sort of thing. And at this period of time, this is what God allowed. The primary wife would, you know, be heir, and the family would be heir, and they would have certain says and things, but the concubine wouldn't. But it was still a wife, and that's what he's got here. And you got to understand that it says he was a certain what?
Levite.
He was a Levite. So what's that mean? That means he's from the tribe of Levi. And that tribe was set apart from God to minister to the things of God. At this particular point in time, the temple had not been built, so it was the tabernacle. So he was a Levite. He was a holy man. Now, verse 2 goes on and it says, "And his concubine played the whore against him and went away from him unto her father's house to Bethlehem, Judah, and was there 4 whole months. And her husband arose and went after her to speak friendly unto her and to bring her again, having his servant with him and a couple of asses. And she brought him into her father's house. And when the father of the damsel saw him, he rejoiced to meet him." He rejoiced to meet him. Now here, you got to look at the text of the Bible, because King James says, "And his concubine played the whore against him." Played the whore against him. Well, the Bible in basic English doesn't translate the word whore that way. The Bible in basic English says his servant wife was angry with him. The Douay Rheims reads, "She left him and returned to her father's house." The Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament, reads, "His concubine departed from him." The New Jerusalem Bible says, "In a fit of anger, his concubine left him." The New Revised Standard reads, "But his concubine became angry with him." The Revised Standard reads, "And his concubine became angry." So, where it says, "And his concubine played the whore against him," is not an accurate translation in King James. not only can you see this from the text, but furthermore, you can see it in the verses and the context of the text itself in English. Because verse 3 says, "And her husband arose and went after her to speak friendly unto her and to bring her" what? Again, now this guy was, he was a Levite, right? And if he had been walking on the word of God, he would have known the Levitical laws. He would have known the laws of Moses because he was a Levite. Now, if you hold your finger here and you go to Deuteronomy chapter 24, one of the laws in Deuteronomy with regards to a situation similar to this, Deuteronomy in verse 4 of chapter 24 reads, "Her former husband, which sent her away, may not take her again to be his wife after that she is defiled." Deuteronomy 24, 4. "For it is an abomination before the Lord, and thou shalt not cause the land to sin, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance." So when a woman would do such a thing and was married and go out and play the whore, her former husband wasn't to take her back and with regards to that when someone else had her. Now, him being a Levite would have known that. But the Word of God says that her husband arose in verse 3 of Judges 19 and went after her. And went after her. Now, that fits perfectly with the understanding that she got ticked off and took off. It doesn't fit with she played the whore against him. Why would he go after her when she played the whore against him? When, first of all, the Word of God says you don't do it because it's sin. And second of all, why would he go and speak friendly to her when she did him this wrong? You understand? You always have to have common sense. You can see it. So that's where you are. And when he gets there, she brings him into her father's house, and her father's all happy. You know, why is he happy? Because maybe there's going to be a reconciliation between the concubine and the Levite, and he gets to be alone again in his house. Right? "And his father-in-law, the damsel's father, retained him, and he abode there for 3 days. And they did eat and drink and lodge there. And it came to pass on the fourth day, when they arose early in the morning, that he rose up to depart. And the damsel's father said, don't go. Hang out a little bit more. And they sat down, they ate and drank, and they stayed there again. He says, tarry here all night, and let your heart be merry. Verse 7. And then the next day, once you get up and go, and the father-in-law urged him, and he said, stay out, hang out, watch the game with me. And he stayed there again. Verse 8, and he rose up early in the fifth day to depart. And the damsel's father said, comfort thy heart, I pray thee, and tarry until afternoon. And they did eat, both of them. And when the man rose up to depart, he and his concubine and his servant, his father-in-law, the damsel's father said unto him, behold, now the day is dawned towards the evening. I pray thee, tarry all night. Behold, the day groweth to an end. So he's hanging out. He said, I want you to stay even longer. And what he's doing, he's just constraining him. And he's operating that Eastern hospitality of constraining the person to try to get them to stay another day, to bless them, to let them know how much they love them and want to bless them. Because in the East, people think, even to this day, that if you do a service unto a man or unto a stranger, that you're doing a service unto God. So this is the way those people thought. Verse 10, but he got fed up. He said, I ain't staying no longer. He says, let's get out of here. And they came over against Jebus, which is Jerusalem. Another name that was Jerusalem was called in the Old Testament was Jebus. And there were with him a couple of his donkeys, and his concubine also was with him. So he gets the girl. I'm imagining that he apologized to her for ticking her off or whatever happened. They work things out. They get back together. Now he's going back home with his concubine. And when they were by Jebus, and the day was far spent, verse 11, and the servant said unto them, Master, come, I pray thee, and let us turn into the city of the Jebusites, and lodge there. And his master said unto him, We will not turn hither into the city of a stranger that is not of the children of Israel. We will pass over to Gibeah. So he said, let us pass. The servant said, let's hang out here with the Jebusites. And he said, the Levite, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go to my own family, someone who's an Israelite. Now, if you hold your finger here and you go to Judges chapter 1, go to Judges 1, and in verse 21 of Judges 1, look at this verse. It says, And the children of Benjamin was one of the tribes of Israel, right? The children of Benjamin drove out the Jebusites. Yeah. No, what does it say? Did not drive out the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem, but the Jebusites dwell with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem unto this day. What was the word of God to Moses when they came into the promised land? To drive out and get rid of what? All the people. So here when you get the first chapter of Judges, you find out that the tribe of Benjamin didn't drive out the Jebusites, but they were hanging out with them. Now, if you read chapter 1 of Judges, you'll see that it wasn't just Benjamin. It was Simeon, it was this one, it was this one. It lists that they were just all disobedient. Now, you're here in chapter 19 again. And he says, I'm not going into the city of a stranger in verse 12. Verse 11 says, I'm not going to the Jebusites and Lot's there. We'll go over to Gibeah. Verse 13, and he said unto his servants, Come, let us draw near unto one of these places to lodge there all night. Let's go to Gibeah, or let's go to Ramah. And they passed on, and they went their way, and the sun went down upon them. They were by Gibeah, which belongeth to who?
Benjamin.
Now, we just read in Judges 1, verse 21, that Benjamin dwelt in the land, and he didn't drive out the what? Jebusites were unbelievers. And one of the reasons why God said in Deuteronomy to drive out the unbelievers, he says, you don't bow down unto their what? Gods. You don't let their daughters marry your sons. You don't let your sons marry their daughters, because they're going to turn you around and they're going to make you worship what? Their gods. And then you're going to lose and leave the Lord thy God. And then God said to him, if you do this, he says, you won't be able to stand before your enemies, but you'll be utterly destroyed. In the first chapter, you see that Benjamin was disobedient, along with a bunch of other tribes of Israel, to the command that was given to Moses and then again to Joshua. So we see that they were by Gibeah, which belongeth to Benjamin. Verse 15. Now, Benjamin is dwelling among the Jebusites and some of the other pagan lands, and by doing so, they were getting themselves mixed up, doing things that they shouldn't be doing, and bowing down and worshiping things they shouldn't be worshiping, and thinking wrong things that they shouldn't be thinking. So, verse 15 says, And they turned aside thither to go in and to lodge in Gibeah. And when he went in, he sat down at the street of the city, for there was no man that took them into his house to lodging. Now, this is also an Eastern custom, that when you would go into the gate of the city, there at the gate, there should be elders, there'd be people who understood the city, that perhaps were officials of the city. They'd ask, where are you coming from? What are you doing? And again, the hospitality of the East was, you don't have a place to go. Could you come to my house? Let me feed you. Let me put you up for the night. Because they felt that they were doing God a service by doing that. Now, this particular city didn't have an inn. It didn't have a Motel 6, so they couldn't even go there. Now, there were cities that did have inns, okay, that you could go where a stranger could travel, but this particular city did not. So he's waiting there. He's hanging out in the street, and people are walking by him. People notice him, but nobody comes up to him and says, hey, you want to come hang out at my place? And that would be similar to you coming here tonight, and after fellowship, you know, before fellowship things can get a little busy, but after fellowship, you're coming here and you're new for the first time, and nobody comes up to you and says hello. Nobody comes up to you and says, can I get you a cup of coffee? Nobody takes you over to the bar and says, here, let me get you a cookie. They just ignore you. They see you and they walk by you. They don't say hi. That's what these people were doing, and that's what you got to see, because the custom was they're there. You're there to bless. This is the Eastern hospitality you would offer. It would be like someone coming here into your home, and after fellowship, you don't talk to them, you don't offer them a drink, you don't introduce them to any, you just ignore them. You understand? This is the atmosphere that they're in. All right, now, they're in Gabea, and Gabea belongs to who? Benjamin. Benjamin is an Israelite, right? So the town of Gabea belongs to the Israelites, and Israelites occupied a town. The purpose of going there is that he didn't want to go to a stranger. He wanted to be among his family, his own what? Brethren. So look how he's being treated among his own brethren. Okay, do you ever go to a family reunion or to a family party and go there and the host doesn't say anything and nobody talks to you and nobody offers you anything and nobody, this is what's going on, right? Italians are fabulous for this. Okay, they'll stab you when you're back. They'll stab you when you're looking at them. I can say that, I'm Italian. Okay, and no man took him to his house to lodging. And behold, there came an old man from his work out of the field at evening, which was also of Mount Ephraim, and he sojourned in Gabea. But the men of the place were Benjamites. Okay, the men of the place, of that area, they were what? Benjamites. And when he, the old man, had lifted up his eyes, he saw the wayfaring man in the streets of the city. And the old man said, where you going? And where you coming? And he said unto him, we are passing from Bethlehem, Judah, towards the side of Mount Ephraim. From thence am I come. And I went to Bethlehem, Judah. I'm now going to the house of the Lord. And there is no man that receiveth me to house. He's going back to the house of the Lord. And he says, there's no man that has offered me anything. Yet, however, you know, nobody asked me anything, but I got to tell you, there is both straw and provender for our asses, and there is bread and wine also for me and for my handmaid and for the young man, which is of my servants, and I do not want of anything. You know, it doesn't matter because I'm blessed. I got plenty of food. I got food for my donkey, my wife's here, his handmaid, his concubine, my servant's here, we're cool, we're good. And the old man said, peace be with thee, howsoever all thy wants lie upon me, only lodge not in the street. Just save your stuff for another time, please come with me. And he begins to constrain him and offer him the Eastern hospitality. So he brought him into his house and he gave him provender to his asses and they washed their feet and they did eat and drink. Now as they were making their hearts merry, they're hanging out being blessed in this old man's house. And this guy that's in there is a Levite with his concubine with his servant. And they're ate dinner and after dinner they're sitting around, they're telling jokes or stories and they're just hanging out being blessed. Behold, the men of the city, certain sons of Belial, beset the house round about and beat at the door and spake unto the master of the house, the old man, saying, bring forth the man that came into thine house that we may have sex with him. We may know him. Now, Gabea belongs to who? Benjamin. And the men of the city were what, did it say earlier? Benjamites. They were Israelites. Okay, now the Bible says the men of the city belonging to who? And the men of the city are who? Israelites. The Israelites, got it? Came to him. And they said, bring out this man because we are homosexuals and we want to rape him. Now, how far did Israel fall from the truth of God's word? It'd be one thing to be a man of Belial and be a Jebusite or a Canaanite or a Hittite or a Hivite. You understand? Because they were pagan gods doing pagan things, and that's what you expect from a pagan nation, right? These guys weren't pagan. These guys were Benjamites. These guys were children of Israel. They were brethren. He went there, bypassed an easier route where he could have went to the Jebusites. Hindsight's 20/20, probably been more blessed and saved at the Jebusites camp. Goes the extra mile, I think it's 5 miles or so more he had to travel. Okay? Till he gets to Gibeah, right? Is that what it said? Gibeah. Because he wants to be among his family where he's safe. And he's going to be blessed. Now that's a fine how do you do, huh? Place where you think you'd be safe and welcome. What's happening? He's hanging out. First of all, everybody ignores him. Then one little old guy finally comes in and says, hey, come on. He finally gets a place. He gets something to eat. They're hanging out. And then the men of the city gather around and they say, what? Bring out this man so that we can have sex with him. What's that sound like? There you go. Happened years and years and years ago with Abraham. Remember a lot? Sodom and Gomorrah? That we may know him. They wanted him. You understand? Him happens to be a what? Levite. Levite. And the master of the house, went out unto them and said, what is wrong with you? Nay, my brethren, I pray you, do not so wickedly, seeing this man is come into my house, do not this follow. Behold, here is my daughter, a maiden, and his concubine. Them will I bring out now, and humble ye them, and do with them what seemeth right to you, but unto this man do not such a vile thing. Here again, you see the Eastern hospitality, that if you came under the man's roof and you sat, especially if you drank something or ate something that had salt with it, you had a covenant of salt, you had a covenant of coming into your house, that he would be willing to give his life for you because that's the way the Eastern people thought. You came under the protection of my house. Now, if you do something to him, you got to do it to me first. This is the way they think. And he says, take my daughter, take his concubine, but don't touch this man. Now, I'm sure that the man knew that by this time that the man was a Levite, that he was a holy man. And, you know, he doesn't want to give him up. But the men would not hearken unto him. So the man took his concubine and brought her forth unto them, and they knew her and abused her all night until the morning. The New International reads, they raped her all night long, a bunch of them. And when the day began to spring, they let her go. The woman came to dawning of the day, and she fell down at the door of the man's house where her lord was till night. And her lord rose up. The lord was the Levite. Her lord rose up in the morning, opened the doors of the house. He went out to go his way, and behold, the woman, his concubine, was falling down at the door of the house, and her hands were upon the threshold. And he said unto her, up, let us be going. But none answered. Then the man took her up upon his ass, and the man rose up, and he got him into his place. And when he had come into his house, he makes a journey back to his house with this corpse on his donkey, his concubine. He took a knife, and he laid hold of this wife, his concubine, and he divided her along with her bones into 12 pieces, and he sent her into all the coast of Israel. And it was so that when they saw it, that there was such a deed never seen or done from the days of the children of Israel came out of the land of Egypt unto this day, they considered it. Take advice and speak your mind. In other words, the children of Israel, 12 in number, had heads who were elders in the particular families that were represented in Israel. And so what he did is he took a piece of his concubine wife and he sent a piece to Judah. Then he sent a piece to Asher. Then he sent a piece to Manasseh. Then he sent a piece to Naphtali. Then he sent a piece to etc. You understand? He sent pieces. And when the elders got these pieces, they were so shook that nothing like this has ever happened before. It got their attention. You understand? It got their attention. May I digress for a moment? If you wake up tomorrow morning with a horse's head in bed with you, it's going to get your attention, right? This is what he did. She wasn't a horse, but it was something drastic. He took drastic measures to get the elders' attention. That's what he wanted. And all the children of Israel went out. Chapter 20, verse 1. And the congregation was gathered together as one man from Dan unto Beersheba, unto the land of Gilead, and to the Lord of Mizpeh. And the chief of the people, all the tribes of Israel, presented themselves in the assembly of the people of God, 400,000 footmen that drew the sword. 400,000 men came, presented themselves from all the different tribes of Israel, footmen, almost all the tribes of Israel, you're going to see, that drew the sword. You know what that means? They were soldiers. So he got their attention, and they came with their soldiers, and they said, what is going on in Israel? We need to know what's going on, and this is how big a deal it is. Now the children of Benjamin, that's where he came from, right? Now the children of Benjamin heard that the children of Israel were going up to Mizpah, and then said the children of Israel, tell us, how was this wickedness? Okay? And the Levite, the husband of the woman that was slain, answered and said, I came to Gibeah, and which belongeth to Benjamin. I and my concubine to lodge, and the men of Gibeah rose against me and beset the house round about me by night, and thought to have slain me and my concubine, they had forced, and she's dead. And I took my concubine, I cut her in pieces, I sent her throughout all the countries and the inheritance of Israel, for they have committed lewdness and folly in Israel. Behold, ye are all children of Israel, and give here your advice and counsel. So the guy gets to tell them what happened. And he says, okay, now what are you going to do about it? What do you think about this? And all the people arose as one man, saying, we will not any of us go into his tent, neither will any of us turn into his house, but that which is this thing will go up to Gibeah, and we will take by lot. We're going to grab the people. We're going to go up by lot, and we will take 10 of 100 throughout all the tribes, and 100 of 1,000, and 1,000 of 10,000 to get food and get everything ready for the army. We'll come to Gibeah Benjamin according to the folly which they had wrought against Israel. In other words, we're going to prepare to go against Benjamin and see what the H is going on, but let us get our food and our provisions first. So the men of Israel were gathered again, it's the city, and knit as one man. And the tribes of Israel sent men through all Benjamin, saying, what wickedness is this that is done among you? Now, therefore, deliver us the men, the children of Belial, which are in Gibeah, that we may put them to death, and now put away the evil from Israel. So they said, give us the guys who did this, because we'll handle them, and there won't be this evil in Israel. But the children of Benjamin would not hearken to the voice of their brethren, the children of what? The children of Benjamin were also children of what? Israel. Now, you want to see how far they degraded? The fact that they had the homosexual crap going on, the fact that the homo came and said that we're going to rape this guy, the fact that they killed all this person and the concubine and did all that stuff, when the entire nation, the leadership in it at least, is confronted, what do they say? We ain't giving them up. What are they doing? They're protecting them. They're protecting what? Evil. Now, these guys are Israelites. These guys came from the Red Sea, out of Egypt, across Jordan. You understand? They saw all these wonderful things. They were at the rock, the stone of witness that Joshua had them swear to. They will serve the Lord. You can't serve the Lord. He's a jealous God. No, we will. We swear. Okay, this rock's a witness unto you. You said it this day. These guys were there. You understand? What are they doing? They're protecting. Saying, we ain't giving them up. We know they did it. But you know what? So what? Eh. Well, it would not hearken to the children of Israel. Verse 14, but the Benjamites gathered themselves together out of the cities on the Gibeah to go out to battle against their brethren, the children of Israel. Not only are they not going to give them up, but they get their own soldiers together and they say, you want to fight about it? The children of Benjamin were numbered at that time out of the city, 26,000 men that drew the sword, besides the inhabitants of Gibeah, which were numbered 700 chosen men. Among this people, there were 700 chosen men, left-handed, everyone that could sling stones at a hair's breadth and not miss. In other words, verse 16 says, if there was a fly on your head at 50 paces, these left-handed stone slingers could hit it dead every time. They were good. Sharpshooters, marksmen with the slings. The men of Israel, besides Benjamin, were numbered 400,000 that drew the sword, and these were the men of war. So you got 400,000 on this side, men of Israel, that drew the sword, right? And you got 26,000 plus another 700 of Benjamin. So it's a little bit, numbers-wise, not even, right? And the children of Israel rose, and they went up to the house of God, the ants' council of God. Who's going to go up to battle? Benjamin. And the Lord said, Judah shall go first, verse 18. Children of Israel rose up in the morning, they camped, verse 20. Men of Israel went out against Benjamin. Men of Israel raided in battle, 21. Children of Benjamin came forth and kicked their butt, and down to the ground, 22,000 men. Benjamin comes out and kills 22,000 of his brethren of Judah that day. Why? Because they're protecting homos. They're protecting the evil. The people, the men of Israel, encouraged themselves, stepped to battle again in the place where they were the first, Children of Israel went up. They cried. They came battle against the second day. Who's going to go up against him? My brother. Verse 24, children of Israel came near to Benjamin the second day. Benjamin went forth the second day and destroyed down to the ground the children of Israel again. 18,000 men this time. Benjamin goes out and kicks their butt again. They got 20-some thousand the first day, 18,000 the second day. And they're willing to kill and shed their brethren's blood because they don't want to give up the homos. Right? Then the children of Israel, all the people, came to the house of God, and they wept before the Lord, and they fasted that day on the evening and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. You know, if you go to Judges chapter 1 and you read about some of these tribes that are represented here in the children of Israel, you know what it says about them? It says that they didn't drive out the inhabitants of the land either. It says that they did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they left the Lord, and they served false gods too. So they finally get to the place where they figure out something's gone wrong, and they go up, and it says they fast it, and they offer burnt offerings. And the children of Israel inquired of the Lord, for the Ark of the Covenant of God was there in those days. Now look at this. And Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, stood before it in those days, saying, shall I yet again go out to battle against the children of Benjamin, my brother, or shall we just let it go? And the Lord said, go up, for tomorrow I will deliver them into thy hand. Now, I'm going to show you something. We're in Judges chapter 20. But I just read to you, and Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, stood before it, and they come before Phinehas, okay? And they say to Phinehas, should we do such and such? Because he's the priest. Now, I want you to go to Joshua 24. Joshua 24, book before. Because what you got here, if you just cursively read the scripture, you go chapter 19, chapter 20, chapter 21. But what you got here is you got a guy that is standing before the children of Israel, Phinehas, as the priest, giving them instruction. Okay? But Phinehas the priest, according to Joshua 24, verse 33, says, "And Eleazar the son of Aaron died, and they buried him in a hill that pertaineth to Phinehas, his son, which was given him in Mount" what? Ephraim. Joshua 24, 33. You see it? Okay. Now, you know the judges spans approximately 350 years. And guess what? There's only 21 chapters. We're getting towards the end of the book. Now, either this guy, Joshua died, I think, 110 years old. Either this guy, Phinehas, is like 300 and some years old, or chapter 19, 20 in the book of Judges is out of what? Chronological order. And that's exactly what it is. See, chapter 19 and 20 in the book of Judges chronologically belongs in the front of the book of Judges. And this is how we can identify it, because Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron. Here, Joshua, Eleazar, the son of Aaron, and Phinehas, his son. It's the same guy. That's when he ministered. In other words, he ministered in that time period in 1906. He didn't minister in 2010. And we would understand that here. You understand? But you don't see it unless you pick up on the name Phinehas. So 1920, the book of Judges, chronologically, doesn't belong in 1920. Chronologically, it belongs in the front of the book. It's here put at the end as a recap, as something, but it's not here chronologically. It does not fit the dates. All right. Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, verse 28, Judges 20. We've got to move on. "Stood before it such and such. God said, I'm going to deliver it into your hand. Go out. 31, children of Benjamin went out as before other times. 33, children of Benjamin said, we're going to beat them. All the men of Israel rose up, 33, out of their place, put in array to battle, such and such. And the Lord smote Benjamin before Israel," verse 35. "And the children of Israel destroyed the Benjamites that day, 25,000 and 100 men that drew the sword." 25,000. Now, that's not many of Benjamin left, because we read there was only 20-some in the beginning, right? And plus a couple other guys added in to the fighting force that weren't Benjamites. So now 25,000. "And the children of Benjamin thought they were smitten," verse 36, "for the men of Israel gave place to the Benjamites because they turned to liars and waits," the ambush, "and the liars and waits hasted, rushed upon Gibeah, and the liars and waits drew their sword along such and such. Now there was a sign that the liars and waits would make great flame." See, in other words, they attacked the city too. When the guys were out fighting, some of the other Israelites went and they attacked the city. "And when the men of Israel retired in the battle, Benjamin," verse 39, "began to smite and kill of the men of Israel about 30 people, for they said, surely they have smitten us down before the first battle. But when the flames arose out of the city with the pillar of smoke, the Benjamites looked behind them and said, behold, the flames of the city ascended up to heaven. And when the men of Israel turned again, the men of Benjamin were amazed, for they saw that evil was come upon them." So they got it from both sides. "Therefore, they turned their backs to the men of Israel, and they went and they got destroyed. And they enclosed the Benjamins round about and trode them down and over against Gibeah towards the sun rising. And then there fell with Benjamin 18,000 men. All these were men of valor. And they turned and fled towards the wilderness toward the rock of Rimmon. And they gleaned of them the highways, 5,000 additional they killed. And pursued after giving, they slew another 2,000 of them. So all they which fell of Benjamin were 25,000 that drew the sword. And these were men of valor. But," verse 47, "600 men turned and fled into the wilderness and the rock of Rimmon, and they hung out there in the caves for" what? 4 months. 4 months. That was all that was left of the tribe of Benjamin in the world. Okay? They almost completely annihilated Benjamin almost completely. And the men of Israel turned again unto the children of Benjamin and smote them with the edge of the sword, all the men, every city and beast, verse 48, and they came to hand and set on fire the cities which came. They went in the city, they finished everything there. Now, verse 21, you can read, the men of Israel say, we'll never give our daughters to anybody in Benjamin, so they can't have children and their tribes grow again. But then they feel bad about it, and they go to neighboring place. They get like 400 women, I think, and give them to the men. There are 200 men that didn't have wives because they felt bad. And so when the women were going out to dance of Israel, of whoever, the Benjamites were able to come out and take a wife so they could all begin to rebuild the tribe again, because Israel felt bad that they had to destroy their brethren. So they showed mercy, and you could read about the rest of it if you want yourself. But the beginning, this isn't too far. See, that's why I wanted to show you chronologically where it should be. It should be in the beginning. This isn't very far, not so many years afterwards, where they stood before that rock of witness, that stone of witness, and swore an oath and a covenant unto God, the God of Israel, and said, no, we will not serve foreign gods. We will not do such and such. We will not do such and such. And remember Sunday how I was teaching you? The steps progressively worse, 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 worse. Where were these guys at? You know, and see, when you get demons, spirits involved, you got to understand that's what orchestrated this whole thing. Because anybody who's not even religious, but is just a good egg and just a good common sense, good old Joe, if something like that would have happened in their town, what do you think they would have did? They'd have been right there and says, let's go get this guy because this guy don't deserve to live. These people don't deserve to live, right? Normal people that don't even know God, say, quote, unquote, would do that, right? These guys were the guys of the covenant. They made a covenant. They knew Jehovah. They saw the great works. They heard of the great works. They were Israelites. And when their own brethren, 400,000, came to them, they had the audacity before 400,000 to say, no, we ain't giving them up. We'll fight before we give them up. How evil and how far did their minds have to digress, to be degraded, to be able to say to their brethren, first of all, we don't recognize there's any folly in Israel. We don't see the problem with it. And second of all, if you do think you're going to come into our land and touch these men, we'll kill you. How perverted does one mind have to be that you get to that state that you're willing to die to protect evil? That's something. And I used to read this and I'd say, but I never understood these were their own brethren. These were God's chosen people. God's chosen people indulging in homosexual activity. God's chosen people indulging in raping man's wife. And it says they raped her all night long. They raped her. So many of them raped her. They violently violated her and violently raped her that they killed her. The result of being raped all night long was that she died. She died. And you would think that you would want justice, right? Especially after swearing a covenant, after having the tabernacle, after having the laws. And the guy was a Levite. He was a holy man to boot. It's bad enough it happened, period, right? But it happened to a holy man. It happened to a Levite. Not that that makes it any different. They had no respect for the man of God or for him at all. to do it to Joe is one thing, but to do it to a minister, it just showed you the depth of their disrespect and how filthy they were. And that day, well, not that day, but several days within that period of time, the tribe of Benjamin was almost completely reduced to zero. There was only 600 because they went into the city, they killed the women, they killed the children, they killed everybody. And the only ones that got away were the 600 that went to the caves and hung out in the caves for 4 months. And after they did that, Israel felt bad for them and said, okay, we'll let you live. And Benjamin was pretty big. Back in Deuteronomy, Benjamin was numbered. And it says that when Benjamin was numbered back in Deuteronomy, okay, because we just read about the men of valor, we didn't talk about the other people in the city, okay? Back in Deuteronomy, as a matter of fact, it says that, I'm wrong, Numbers 26:41 says that the number of Benjamins, the sons of Benjamins after their families were numbered, and there were 45,600. That's back in Numbers. And they had some time to have more children by the time they crossed over. So there was a lot of people killed that day. And all for what? For evil. And that is that remarkable? What people will go to for evil. God help our nation, huh? Let's pray. Father, thanks for your word, for your love. Thanks that we can be men and women that will maintain your word and the integrity of it. In Jesus' precious name, amen.